Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Word of God says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And let's pray. Father, we're grateful for these words. Thank you for the Holy Ghost within us that helps us to understand them, that makes them known to us. We're grateful that you saved us, that you offered salvation to us through simple faith in Christ, that we have the opportunity to follow you anew as symbolized by baptism. And Lord, we're grateful for the local assembly, for the church, that gives us a place to come and worship and serve and just be helped so much. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless this service today. Help us have a real appreciation for you and what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, may we have a renewed commitment to you and to this wonderful institution we call the church, and specifically here in our community, Curtis Corner Baptist Church. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we often come to church, and not very often when we come to church do we talk about church. But today we're going to preach a message from the Scripture regarding the church. I think it's important that you know why you're here, and that you know why you ought to be here next week, and why the other services that we offer and provide, and all the things our church tries to do. And we have a scriptural mandate from the Lord in the Bible that tells us what a church is, how a church is supposed to function, and how we go forward in this life. And let me just say that I love Curtis Corner Baptist Church. I really do. I've been to a lot of different churches in my time. I could tell you stories, some that would make you cringe, others that would make you laugh. But church is a good place. Now, let's be honest, my flesh doesn't always want to go to church. Don't look at me like that. Yours doesn't always either, right? Some days you're not feeling all that great. Some days you just feel like you're just not up to it. Other days you're feeling sick. All of those things. But listen, there is a commitment in my life to attend church. And there has been since I was about 17 years old. And my life has benefited exponentially just from my commitment to go to a good Bible-believing church. Many of the great decisions I've made in my life have come because of church. The great truths that I've learned from the Scriptures, because of church. I got saved because I went to church and heard the gospel. I got baptized in a church in the spring, a week or so after I got saved. I got taught the Scriptures in the church. And sometimes I sit back there and shook my head and thought, this preacher's nuts. He's crazy. And I was remembering this week, you know, old Pastor Ross, he was just an old farmer, but he was a man of God, and he'd be up there preaching. He had his black horn-rimmed glasses. I mean, he looked like he was out of the 30s, 40s, or 50s. And this is the 90s, man. To some of you, that's ancient. The kids are like, 90s, man, that's old. No, it's not. And some of you are like, man, you're young, because, you know, you were younger a lot earlier than that. But I remember sitting back there, and I'm a teenager, and the preacher would get up there preaching. He's talking about Jesus, and he starts talking about holiness and all these kinds of things. And I'm thinking, this guy's like stuck in the 50s. Does he know what? I'm looking around me thinking, does somebody needs to tell him what decade it is? You know, somebody needs to tell him how the world really works. And I remember just having those thoughts, and just the Scripture coming to me and being taught to me was so different than my life experience and what I believed and what I knew. But I began studying the Word, and I was thinking about this recently. Again, I started studying the Scripture to prove the preacher he was wrong, because he kept preaching about something that I rather enjoyed. And I thought, he's got to stop preaching about that thing, because I enjoy that. And so I went to the Scriptures and started studying the Scriptures so I could prove to the preacher that he was wrong. And what I found, to my great dismay, was that he was more right than I could possibly imagine. He wasn't saying it harsh enough. He wasn't saying it often enough. And so the Lord began to change my heart. But I remember those days, and I remember just the Holy Spirit working in my heart and coming to church and how awesome it was. Listen, I remember going to church, and I met my wife because of church. And let me just say, Sarah Chapman is the sweetest woman I've ever met in my life, and one of the most godly women I've ever met in my life. I wouldn't trade her for anybody in the world. She is amazing, and I met her because of church. And what's interesting as you start following this out is that she was so amazing because she had a commitment to church, and because her parents had a commitment to taking her to church and rearing her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, church has benefited my life in more ways than I can number this morning. I was married in a church. I was ordained in a church. I preach in church. The church has just become and has been just one of the focal points of my life. And I don't say that by way of bragging. I say it to encourage you that my life has benefited by that commitment to being in God's house. I look at other people who are about the same age or were in some of the same stages of life, and when they changed their commitment to church, when they stopped going to church or they stopped going to a Bible preaching church, their lives begin to suffer. And I mean suffer greatly. In terrible ways. And so I just look at that and say, thank God that God put me in a good church and I've had the good sense to stay in one all these years. And praise the Lord for that. Now, there is a movement today, even among Christians, that says church isn't really all that important. You've heard it. You've heard people say it. Church isn't really all that important. Here's what they say: I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You ever heard somebody say that? Yeah. We all have. And that's true. And it's a good thing it's true, or they wouldn't be going. Amen. Amen. Did you know there's a lot of churches that tell you you have to go to church in order to go to heaven? Christian denominations that tell you that the path to heaven is through church membership. That's not Bible. That's not scriptural. Now, what it does is it gives the preacher and the church a lot of control in people's lives. But it's false control. And the goal of the church and Christian preacher is not control in people's lives, it's influence for the glory of God. But let me tell you, it'd be a lot easier to get people to come to church if that was the path to heaven. But we're honest with the Scripture here, aren't we? It's not the path to heaven. You can go to heaven without going to church. But let me tell you, you'll be a mess when you get there. You'll be an absolute mess when you get there. And there are some that say, you know, church, you have to do this, you have to do that. Our church is very honest with the Scripture. But what we need to do as Christians is see the value of church, not that you don't have to get beat over the head to go, but that we see the value in going. And listen, I think if you've got kids and they live in your house and they're young and they're under your roof and you're paying the bills and you're feeding their face and you're putting clothes on them, our family goes to church. My kids honestly don't have a choice about whether or not to come today. And you know what? That's not horrible. That's a good thing. Can I be honest with you? Kids aren't smart enough to know what's good for them. That's no knock on my kids or your kids. It's just a fact of life. You don't let them eat what they want for dinner every night of the week, because it would be pizza and donuts and McDonald's and all that kind of stuff all the time. Chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese. you know, all of that kind of stuff. You probably don't let them decide what time to go to bed at night. You probably don't let them just have free reign of the television. There's a lot of areas in your life when it comes to children that we set boundaries for them until they learn, and hopefully by the time they get old enough and get out of our house and they're adults, that they've learned some good things, right? And so I think it's good for kids to go to church. It's good for all of that, because hopefully they can fall in love with Jesus when they're here and learn about the importance of it. Praise the Lord for that. But let me tell you something. I have to set the example, because I understand that if I didn't go to church, I promise you tonight, it would hurt my marriage. I promise you it would hurt my kids. I promise you it would hurt my finances. See, some Christians don't believe that because they don't understand the importance of church. My future changes as soon as I step away from God's house. But my future changes and improves whenever I reconnect or make my commitment and say, I'm committed to God's house and being here. And so we see here in the scriptures the importance of the church. Look at verse 41 here. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So there were 3,000 souls saved and baptized in this day. Now the Bible says they were added unto them. Who's them? Well, true, they were added to the apostles, but let's look down further, and the Bible defines who they were added to. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the what?
Church.
The church daily, such as should be saved. So the people in verse 41 were added to the church. They just weren't added to a group. They just weren't added to the invisible church, the invisible bride of Christ. They were added to the local assembly at Jerusalem. They were counted among the members of the local assembly. And listen, the Bible teaches local churches where people gather together, where there's a preacher that preaches, where there's singers that sing, where there's an offering that's taken, where ministries are conducted, where the poor is helped. There is this physical thing called the church. And there is a misnomer out there and a misbelief that says, well, I don't need a physical church because I'm part of this greater body of Christ. No, the Bible's very clear that you need a physical local church. You need other Christians to serve with. We need other people to worship with. And we need this physical place called church. And so these folks that were saved were added unto the church at Jerusalem daily. See, this process kept going and more people kept getting saved. And watch this. Every time someone got saved and baptized, they wanted them to be added to the church. God uses local churches to do his will in our world. Not that God can't pull levers and make things happen without us. We all know he's capable of that. But the Bible's very clear that God uses people to do his work. Why did God call an Abraham? He didn't have to. Why did God call a Moses? Why was there a Peter and a Paul? Why did Jesus come himself personally, physically, to the earth? Not just to die, or he just could have showed up in one day and died that night and risen 3 days later and left. No, he came because there needed to be a group. There needed to be a physical assembly, and that was called the church. And the Lord here started the church, and we see that. Then the apostles became the core of that. In Acts chapter 1, we see that there was 120 people that were a part of that church that were meeting and at least praying regularly. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see now it was 3,120 people. And then the Lord kept adding to the church daily. And sometimes there were 4,000 added. Sometimes there was 5,000 added. Finally, the book of Acts, they just stopped counting. And they started talking about multitudes were added, and then multitudes were multiplied. So it went from multiplication or addition to multiplication. And if I gave you 5 plus 5, $10, that's good. If I gave you 5 times 20, 5 times $5, that's better, right? And so if a 100 people were added to the church, that's a blessing. If 100 people multiply the church by 100, that's a whole lot better, isn't it? And so you got to understand that the church became the focal point of God's work on earth, these local churches. Now, as people began to get saved in other places, they had churches in other places. This is why we have the book of Galatia. There was a region. Galatia is not a town. It's actually a region. And so the region of Galatia had multiple churches in that region. The book of Colossians is written to the church at Colossae. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we have Jesus himself dictating letters to specific churches, the church at Thyatira, the church at Philadelphia, the church at Laodicea. These were local churches where God says, I'm going to use that group of people in that community to do my work and fulfill my will in that local area. Amen? And so when people got saved in each of those local areas, there was churches there that they were added to the church. And praise God for that. Now, the word church literally means a called out assembly. It is a group of people that is separated from another group of people, and they meet together. And so, for example, let's take a South Kingstown. In South Kingstown, there are two groups of people according to the Bible. There are believers and there are unbelievers, right? There are those that are saved and forgiven, and then there are those that are not saved and they're not forgiven. There are God's children and there are the devil's children, right? So you got these two groups of people. What church is God comes to South Kingstown and says, I'm going to call out my people from the group, and I want them to come together and assemble, and we call that church. Church is for God's people. Church isn't really for lost people. Now, we're glad when lost people come to church. We're glad when lost people get saved at our church, and praise God they do. But primarily, church isn't for lost people. It's for saved people. In the Bible, the way most people got saved was not coming to church assemblies. They got saved as the church left and scattered out in the community. We are to take the gospel with us, right? So I'm all for evangelistic meetings. I'm all for inviting everybody we can to get to church and we'll preach the gospel. But the main way that people get saved is not in church. It's out there. And then, by the way, once someone gets saved, they're a lot more willing to come to church. Right? This is one of the flaws of mainstream Christianity today, in trying to change church services to meet the needs of lost people. They're actually not meeting the needs of saved people. Right? And so the entire church becomes like evangelistic meetings, but it loses the integrity of what it was originally meant to do. And then what happens is you get people saved, but they can't really grow because the structure for them to become disciples of Christ is now gone, because lost people don't want to become disciples of Christ. And so what we have to do is we have to work to keep the integrity of the church intact the way the Lord meant it to. We go out and see people saved or invite them here. They get saved, and now they have a place to come to where the Lord says, that's my church. Now, this might shock some of you, but not every building that has the word church on it is a church. Maybe they used to be a church, but they're not fulfilling God's purposes anymore. And Pastor Chapman doesn't get to make that distinction. I don't get to decide what's a church and what's not, and neither do you. But what we can do is go to the Bible and say, God says this is what a church is supposed to be. That becomes my guide to find out what Curtis Corner Baptist Church is supposed to be. That becomes my guide to decide what church I'm going to commit to. And that also becomes my guide to look around and say, you know what? These other churches aren't really doing it the way God said. And Jesus talked about that in the book of Revelation. He'll come in and take their candlestick. Jesus can come in and just make a church that used to be a church. They're not a church anymore. Jesus says, I no longer consider you a church. And that's a dangerous thing. And that's why in New England especially, we have a large history of Christianity in New England, but there's a lot of dead churches around, aren't there? There's a lot of buildings, and maybe they still have people, maybe they don't. But the gospel's no longer preached. The gospel's no longer taught. And that's always a sad thing. Every time I see a church that is not fulfilling its purpose anymore. That always kind of hurts my heart. And I pray, and that's one reason why we're working and praying that God would use us to encourage church planting in New England or restarting some of these churches that have died so that we can be a blessing. All right, so the church is a called out assembly. Now, this means that a local church is a group of believers who assemble in the name of Christ to fulfill His will in this community and around the world. So it's all about Jesus. Church is all about Jesus and God. Amen? And it's not about you. It's not about me. It ought to be all about Him. And that's one of the ways we keep the church integrity and the truth. And so, but our goal is not just to come and worship. Some churches that truly have good intentions, they've gotten into this habit of they think the only purpose of church is to come and worship God, and then they leave and they go, well, we worship God. No, the purpose of the church is for God's people together, and then they are there to fulfill the will of God in that community. There's work that needs to be done in the community. There's people that need to be loved. The gospel needs to be preached. There's prisoners that need to be visited. There's folks living in bondage that need to hear about freedom. And so the purpose, the church becomes the hub of all spiritual activity in a community. And so it's important for us to connect to a church that says, you know what, that's the church that's going the direction I'm going. I believe that's the church that's doing what the Bible says to do, and that's where I'm going to go to services. That's where I'm going to worship. That's where I'm going to give my tithes and offerings. That's where I'm going to be involved to try to get the work done. And now you might ask, well, preacher, why are there so many different kinds of churches then? You understand, in the Jerusalem, in the beginning, there was just the Christian church, right? Eventually, there became all kinds of churches. And I think I did a survey a year or two ago, and there were 17 different kinds of churches in South Kingstown that call themselves Christians. Now, they're all very different. They're not all the same, or they would all be going to the same church. Amen? Sometimes those differences are minor. Sometimes they are major. Sometimes they deal with salvation itself. And they deal with what the Bible is and who God is. So if you're studying the New Testament, what you find is that immediately Satan began his work of trying to corrupt the church. He immediately began his work of trying to bring false doctrine into the church and get people distracted from what they were supposed to be doing. And we find that in the Bible, God's already warning people. The Apostle Paul's already warning people that, listen, these false teachers, sound doctrine, that doctrine's false, don't pay attention. The Apostle Paul's naming preachers, saying, listen, these people are trying to lead you wrong. The entire region of Galatia had been infected with unbiblical doctrines. And so already Satan began trying to divide and hurt the church. And it's always his confusion. Satan's the master of confusion. And so you look around today, it's confusing. What church do I decide to go to? Now, here's the important thing. When it comes to church, substance is more important than style. Substance is far more important than style. So the average person says, well, I'm going to find a church where I feel comfortable. I'm going to find a church that kind of agrees with everything I'm doing. I'm going to find a church that I feel like I'm having fun. That's not good criteria to pick a church. Because if the church substance is wrong, they might have all some other things that you like, but if they're substantially wrong in the foundational things of Scripture, then that's not a good church to go to. Right? Satan is very busy trying to get you disconnected from this church, I promise you. I don't know what he's doing in your life. I don't know what it is this week or last month or last year. I don't know if you're mad at me or the person next to you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I promise you, if you have a commitment to a good Bible-believing church that's trying to get out the gospel and be the pillar of truth, Satan is working diligently, unceasingly, to try to cut you off from this place or from any other church that's a good church. He works hard at it. We have to be able to see through that smoke and mirror game and be able to see the substance of what's going on. It's amazing to me how sometimes people will disagree about something minor, and then they will go somewhere else that they have huge disagreements with that are far much more substantial, but they're just kind of distracted and out of whack. Let me show you a verse here, and we'll start looking at the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So I'm laying a long foundation because this is an important subject. And so church is important. Church membership is a wonderful privilege and opportunity and responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 3. But before we understand just church membership, there's a lot of people that are in the wrong churches. They're in churches that aren't teaching the truth. Maybe because their family goes there. Maybe because their friends go there. Maybe because they've always gone there. Maybe because that's where they feel comfortable. Maybe because they're anonymous there. Maybe because there's less expectations there. There's all kinds of these reasons. But a lot of good Christians with so much potential are sitting in the wrong churches this morning. And there's even more that aren't in any church at all because Satan has successfully gotten them separated and severed from the local church. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, but the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the what? Of the truth." So the Bible says there's this thing called the church, and the church is important because it's the house of the living God. Now, we know God doesn't live at 591 Curtis Corner Road. Amen? We know, just like God didn't live in the tabernacle in the Old Testament or live in Solomon's temple, but it was the place of his presence. It was the place that carried his name. It was the place where people understood, if I need to find God, I need to go there. And so local churches are that. We carry the name of God. It hurts me whenever I see churches that I know are preaching the wrong doctrine, but they still have the name of Christ or they have the name of God. And that hurts people and it discourages people and it teaches people wrongly. But this is the church of the living God. And aren't you glad God's alive? He's not dead. He's a living God. Now notice what the Bible says about the church, that it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is significant. This is why I was talking about substance is far more important than style. So one of the main jobs of Curtis Corner Baptist Church is that we are the pillar and ground of the truth here in our community. If anybody knows the truth about God in South Kingstown or Southern Rhode Island, it ought to be churches like Curtis Corner Baptist Church. We have the truth. We protect the truth. We know the truth. We're not going to change it. The truth isn't for sale. It is what it is. You can like it or not like it, but we are protecting the truth of God. Why? Because Satan's trying to corrupt the truth. And so one of our jobs is to protect the truth. That's why we're very careful about who preaches and who teaches and all these kinds of things. Folks, false doctrine can move into a church so subtly and so easily. And it becomes a real stumbling block for people. And praise God, we haven't had that. And so our main purpose is to protect the truth. But the Bible says two things. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now let's talk about the ground first. The ground talks about the foundation. Let's use the term bedrock, if you will. We know the truth is the bedrock of what's right. Right? What God says is right is right. What God says is wrong is wrong. Everybody agree with that? If you don't, you're in trouble. Because you're going to find that out one way or another. But what God says is right, that's bedrock. When people are building buildings, if they go down to bedrock, they're not going any further. That's the foundation. But then if you are building a building, especially a large building, oftentimes what they'll do is try to connect the foundation to the bedrock. Because that's where it's safe. So the word ground here speaks of a foundation. So the foundation, the truth of God, is the foundation of Curtis Corner Baptist Church. We're built on the truth. We believe the Bible at Curtis Corner Baptist Church. Right? I try to preach and teach the Bible. If you ever think I'm wrong, I've said this many times over the years, in a good spirit, in a kind spirit, bring me the scripture ask me about a verse, say, preacher, what do you think about this, or what do you think about that, or here's what I've been taught, or here's what I think. Let's talk about it. And I want to be right with God. Your preacher wants to do things God's way. That's my heart. That's my goal. That's my desire. And so there have been times when I've looked at people and said, you know what? I think you're right about that. That's a good point. And there are other times where I can look at people and say, you know what? I know why you're thinking that, but let's look at these verses over here. Let's look at these verses over here and study the Bible. I want what I personally believe and what our church believes to be that foundation. But here's another interesting word. The word is pillar. Now, in America, most pillars today are decorative, right? But pillars have a function. If you have a basement, sometimes you'll have those metal pillars. They'd be considered pillars downstairs that are holding up the floor up top. Down over there, we have a pillar. A couple pillars in the middle of the junior church room that are holding up the floor above it. Underneath here, we have load-bearing walls that are carrying the weight of this floor. And this is what a pillar does. A pillar transfers the load from what's on top of it to the foundation. It connects what's on top to the strong foundation. And so the church is the foundation of the pillar and ground of truth. We have the foundation of the truth, but one of the functions of the church is we are that connection between your life and God's truth. So you can take your life, and if you're learning the truth at church, then you put your truth on that pillar, and that weight of your life, of your decisions, of the church is now transferred all the way to the foundation because we want to be on the solid foundation, right? If you don't think this is important, take down a load-bearing wall in your house and watch what happens. Things start to sag, things start to crumble, the place will fall down if you're not careful, right? And so this is so important. Say, preacher, what's the big deal about me picking a church? Because it's the pillar and the ground of truth. It is not only the protector of the truth in your community, but it is that pillar that takes your life and connects it to the very foundational truths of God. Look at verse 16. What is one of these foundational truths? What is one of these pillars? And we learn about Christ. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest or made known in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's an important verse because that's the Gospels in one verse. The Gospels start with the coming of Christ, and they end with Christ being received up into glory. So if you wanted to find a one-verse synopsis of the life of Christ, this is it. Now, we know that Christ must be central to the preaching and teaching of the church. Do you know there are churches in our community today that you can go to and they will not talk about God? They will not talk about Jesus Christ. I know it sounds insane, but it's true. It's absolutely true. And so we have to, as a church, understand that this is important. So it's important to choose the right kind of church because church membership is so important. Now, why is church membership important? You can write these down or you can write these verses down, look at them later. We won't look them up right now because I want to look at some other verses. Why is church important? Number one, Jesus Christ founded the church. He founded the church. The church was his idea, right? It's his idea. It's not a man-made thing. You know, people say, oh, the church is man-made, man, man. It's like, oh, there's too many mans. You know, sometimes people, they talk like they're so smart, and you're sitting there thinking, what are you talking about? The church isn't man-made. There are churches that are man-made. There are denominations that are man-made. But the true Bible church is not a man-made church. It was Jesus Christ's idea. And by the way, I think it's important, if you're looking for a church, you start with the word Baptist. Not every Baptist church is right, but you're going to find the right kind of church, and it's going to be Baptist or Baptistic. And here, we talked about this recently, but Baptist is more than just a label. It signifies eight foundational Bible truths that church believes or used to believe. I wouldn't go to a church that's not a Baptist church. I'm just being honest with you. I wouldn't do it. I can't go to a Pentecostal church. I can't go to a Catholic church. I can't go to a Presbyterian church. I can't many non-denominational churches I couldn't go to. Matter of fact, the non-denominational movement started, they were mostly Baptist or Baptistic churches that took Baptists off their side for one reason or another. Now, some of those are still really strong in doctrine, but I want to be a part of a church that is connected to God's Word. And this idea of having a church that believes the Bible and believes Christ and is faithful to the Word of God, not just in word but in practice, is so, so important. So Jesus Christ founded the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He's talking about the rock of himself. We've been through this many times. He's not talking about Peter. He's talking about himself, the rock. Next, Jesus Christ protects the church. The Bible says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Well, who's going to make sure that happens? Christ. Did you know that Satan cannot destroy Curtis Corner Baptist Church? He can't do it. It's not in his power. He is unable to destroy Curtis Corner Baptist Church. He doesn't have the power or authority. So what he does is he gets churches to destroy themselves. And this is why you see so much infighting in churches. This is why you see Satan stirring up trouble inside of churches, because a church can't be murdered, but it can commit suicide. And so we have to be careful to protect this thing called Curtis Corner Baptist Church. Gossip, murmuring, sowing of discord, all of those things are absolutely deadly to churches. And so we have to make sure Christ is protecting the church from the outside. We have to make sure that we're focused on Christ and protecting it through his power from the inside. Look at Acts chapter 20. This is a great verse that a lot of people forget when it comes to church. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. Now he's talking to preachers here. It's actually the Apostle Paul talking to other preachers. But of course, we know it's God through inspiration talking to all of us. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now, why is it so important to take heed to the church? Why is it so important to do this job diligently, carefully? Make sure you're doing a good job. Why? Which he, that's Christ, hath purchased with his own blood. Why should church be important to you and me? Because Jesus purchased the church with his blood. Now, the value of something to you is based upon what you're willing to give for it. Jesus Christ gave himself, he gave his very lifeblood for this concept called the church. Now, you say, well, preacher, the church is the people. I understand that. But the Bible could have said that Jesus Christ died for his children. The Bible could have said that Jesus Christ died for all those that would believe in him. He could have said this any way he wanted. He's God. It's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence that he said, I died for the church. Church is important to God. It's important to Christ. And if it's important to him, it ought to be important to me. What in your life would you give your blood to buy? Ought to be a pretty small list. I'm not talking about a drop of blood. I'm not talking about you give a pint and they give you a certificate for a free coffee. What in your life would you die to do? I mean, you would literally give up your life. The list ought to be pretty small. But Jesus Christ said, the church, I'm going to buy it. And by the way, he owns it, doesn't he? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Why is the church important? It's the pillar and ground of truth. Jesus founded the church. Jesus protects the church. Jesus purchased the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you know Jesus loves church? He doesn't like the idea of church. He loves Curtis Corner Baptist Church. Do you love church? And honestly, sometimes the answer is, well, not really. Sometimes we go because of duty. Sometimes we go because we know we should. Sometimes we go because we've got responsibilities. I'm all for duty, But that ought to be your fail-safe. That ought not be where you live. Love church. And the truth is, if you don't, why? And look past all of these other things. The truth is it's usually a problem in our own hearts. Maybe I've gotten worldly and didn't realize it. Maybe I've gotten a little proud and didn't realize it. Maybe I've gotten selfish and didn't realize it. Maybe I'm beginning to value temporal things more than eternal things. Usually there is some internal reason why the church becomes less and less important. We excuse those feelings because of the outward. But the real issue is internally. Jesus loves the church. And then look at this great verse, Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. And he, speaking of Christ, and he is the head of the body. What's the body? The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He's the boss. He's the head. He is the leader. The Bible says he's the great shepherd. The preacher's the under shepherd. One reason why we're independent, we're an independent Baptist church, is we're not part of a denomination. As denominations start as good ideas, but they end up becoming between the local church and God. The denomination begins telling you where your missions money ought to go and who you ought to support. The denomination begins to tell you who your pastor ought to be and how you ought to run your daily runnings of the church. They will mandate that certain portions or percentages of your offerings go to certain things. And truthfully, denominations become the head over local churches. Now, there's benefits. If we were a part of a Southern Baptist church, man, we would have insurances available to me, and I would have pension opportunities and all kinds of awesome stuff. But no, we want Christ to be the head. We want Christ to be the head. And it's important enough to us that we're not willing to give concessions so that we can be part of larger buying groups or get deals on this or that. No, Jesus is our head. And he's fully capable of keeping us going and taking care of us. Amen? So Jesus leads the church. So let me ask you a question this morning. Is church important to you? Not the idea of church, not the big grand church, not the invisible bride of Christ. I'm talking about, is being a part, a functioning part of a local church important to you? And for many of you, the answer is yes. You're here, right? You say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. I know, but the other people aren't here. So this is what God told us to preach. And by the way, it's good for all of us to remember and be reminded, man, this is an important thing. When you and I got saved, we became part of God's family. But now God wants each one of his children to join a genuine local church to continue following him. You say, preacher, what's the big deal about joining a church? And we won't look at a lot of verses for this, but let me just give you a couple of things. Number one, it's a place to belong. It's a place, that's my crowd. Those are my Christian friends. That's my Christian family. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel comfortable here. You'd be amazed at how many people in churches all across our land feel that way. Because Satan works hard to make them feel like they don't belong. And you look at the church across the street or you look at the church in the other town, you say, boy, I feel like I'd be more comfortable over there. And if you did an honest survey of the people there, you'd be shocked about how many people are there saying, man, I just don't feel like I belong here. I've been part of churches literally running 7 or 8 up to churches that are averaging 15,000. And this truth is the same. Satan works hard to make you feel like this isn't my crowd, or I don't belong here, I'd be better off over there. The truth is, no, put down your roots, grow where you're planted, take ownership and say, this is my crowd, this is my place, this is my family. That's what being a part of a church is. And God created the local church to help us experience all the benefits of being a child of God. One of those benefits is fellowship. Being together. Now, when you first get saved, you're honestly going to have more in common with people that are unsaved probably than those that are. That's why it's hard for people to make the transition. But you have the most important thing in common with church people, and that's salvation. And that's a much stronger foundation to build upon than that you like the same sports team or you like the same sports, you like to go to the same places or do the same things. No, build on that. Church is a place to belong. Church is a place to learn. We learn the Bible. And listen, you're going to leave here today hopefully knowing some things about church and the importance of church that you either didn't know or had forgotten. And that's good because it begins to build our faith and we learn about God. Church is a place to grow. We can become the person that God wants us to be. You don't know who I used to be. I used to be the shyest guy. And some of you say, no, that's not true. I used to be you cannot find pictures of me because I used to run from the camera. And here God has me stand up in front of people all the time. The camera come out, I would leave. I would have towels over my head and all this. And one day my mom was doing a project and family pictures. And I was looking at it. I said, Mom, come on, where's the love? I said, where's the pictures of me? It's like you've only got so many kids here. And I was giving her a hard time. And she said, are you being honest? I said, yeah. She said, take a minute and think about your reaction to the camera. And I couldn't help but laugh because, man, it's true. I would run for the hills. And here God has me doing this all the time. And so God is going to have you grow and become someone that you didn't think you could become. We've had people that learned, they say, preacher, I can't read. They've learned to read because they took initiative and they tried to read the Bible through in a year as the church encouraged them. We've had people that said, man, I could never talk to someone about my faith. And they've become soul winners and won people to Christ because they can because God helped them. We've had people say, oh, I could never teach a class. And right now they're teaching classes because they've grown. And growing in grace is not just some ethereal thing. Some internal thing that happens that no one can see. No, growth in grace is this internal and external confirmation to the image of Christ. We become more like Jesus because of the church. And this is why it's important that you be thankful that you're a part of a church that does push you every once in a while, that does nudge you. You don't want to be a part of an organization that just lets you be the least you can be. Be a part of an organization that says, listen, you're doing a great job, but in this area, let's push it this week. Or in this area, God wants us to do a little bit different, molding and shaping us to the image of Christ. And then, of course, church is a place to serve. It's a place to serve where you get your hands dirty, not just a place to grow, but you get your hands dirty. You get in the work of God, on the job training. And begin working with people and stretching and reaching outside of yourself. What'll happen is if you connect yourself to a good church and you commit to it and you give yourself to it, you'll look back and say, man, I can't believe how far I've come. Mm-hmm. Life's not going to be perfect. You're going to have to really fight the devil because he's going to do everything he can to separate you from a good church. He's going to do everything in his power. But if you stick with it and you have a commitment, a faithfulness that says, I am going to connect my life to a Bible-preaching church. I'm going to be there when the doors are open. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be a participant, not just a spectator. It's amazing what God's going to do in your life. Let me say this last thing about church membership, and I just mentioned it, is church is not a spectator sport. I'm glad for anybody that's here today. Anybody that's here today. We've got visitors here today. I'm thankful that you're here. Man, we're just glad that you're here. But let me remind you that church membership is more than just saying I'm going to slip in and out every once in a while. Church membership is saying I want to be a part of that group and what God is doing in this community. And whenever you become a church member, you become jointly responsible for the work of God. Have you ever heard this? Boy, what's wrong? What's wrong with our church? Or boy, people around here are so unfriendly. Well, are you friendly? It's almost like they're so detached. Well, it's not my job. Yo, man, nobody vacuumed the floor this week. Do you know where the vacuum's at? Well, man, you know The bus is dirty. Why didn't somebody wash it? You got a hose? You know, man, that preacher's preaching's lousy. Did you pray for me this week? See, what happens is when you're a church member and you have that participant idea, you're like, you're not some participant just sitting outside saying, well, there's this and this, and here's what's wrong here. No, you're saying, what can I do to help? What can I do to be a blessing? And maybe all you can do is pray. Maybe all you can do is attend. All that is good. But even when you come to church, participate. Sing when it's time to sing. Look in the Bible when it's time to look in the Bible. Look at the preacher when preaching's going on. And so this participating thing, we live in a day and age where people fight commitment, don't they? And isn't it interesting that one of the best things you can do, one of the best commitments you can make to Christ and to be a good follower of Christ is to say, I'm going to find a local church that's the pillar and ground of truth, teaching the Bible, going after the lost, and I'm going to become a part of that thing. I'm going to attach myself. That's my people. That's my crowd. I may not agree with everything. I may not know everything that's going on, but I know that this is where God wants me. And maybe as I did 20 plus years ago, if the Lord tarries, you can look back at your life and you'll be telling someone, so many good things have happened in my life because I decided to be faithful to church. It helped my marriage. It helped my finances. It helped my emotional health, my mental health, my spiritual health. I am a better person with a richer life because I am a member of a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the chance to be here. And Lord, I do pray that you'd work on everybody's hearts here this morning. Lord, if we're talking about stewardship and how my life's going to turn out, one of the best decisions I ever made was being faithful to a good church. One of the best decisions that anybody, any Christian can make is to find a good church and connect to it and be as faithful as they can to it. And Lord, I pray that the folks here today, that our church members would rededicate themselves, to rekindle themselves to that commitment, that they would reenlist. And Lord, I pray maybe there's someone here today that's been coming to church, but they're not members, that they'd say, you know what, that's true. I need to just make this my place. I need to make this my church. And then, Lord, maybe there's someone here today that's not even saved. And if they died right now, they're not even sure they'd go to heaven. Well, if you're not saved, church membership's not going to help you a bit. Lord, I just pray that they would trust you, they'd see their need of you, and that they'd get saved today. And Lord, of course, the main purpose of church is to lift you up, to teach people about you and how we can serve you and live and worship you. So I pray that at Curtis Corner Baptist Church that you would always be the pinnacle, that you would always be the height, you'd always be preeminent, and that the Word of God would be preached here with conviction, with power, and with honesty. And Lord, that you'd give us a group of church people that are just committed to you, and that we could see what awesome things you have for us in the future. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, not sure you're saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. This was a message for saved people. It wasn't a message for lost people. If you're not saved, the greatest need in your life is to put your faith in Jesus for forgiveness of sins. And we encourage you to do so. Christian, regardless of what's going on in your life, maybe something in the message today helped you. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you want to become a member of church. If you'd like to do that, the way you do that, to start that ball rolling, is just to inform me. You can even walk an aisle at one of our invitations and say, I'd like to be baptized, or we'd like to join the church, anything like that. We can get the ball rolling on that. And then maybe you've got something else going on in your life that you just need to pray about. Maybe someone in your family is committed to church and someone else isn't. Why don't you decide to commit together? Go to church together. And I encourage all of the men to just set the godly example. And so many things that we could pray about. Let's stand as the piano plays, the altar's open.